queen to E6. This is the electrifying chess move that brought the unknown 13-year-old Bobby Fischer to worldwide fame. And what would come to be known as the game of the century, 13-year-old Bobby, who was playing against established grandmaster Donald Byrne, deliberately sacrificed his most valuable chess piece, the queen. And normally at that level, to lose your queen is to lose the game. But Fischer intentionally planned this sacrifice far in advance. And actually, no one saw it coming. Many people thought at first that it was a blunder. However, after it happened, it gradually became apparent that what might have seemed like a tragic mistake was actually calculated brilliance. Because there was no moves that Donald could make that would not lead to Bobby's eventual victory. And so Donald gave it his best shot. He kept playing the game, but he steadily lost ground. And this is because Bobby Fischer was in control. Bobby Fischer was several moves ahead, and ultimately Bobby Fischer won the match. Now, I have a question for you this morning. If your life is a chess match, who's in control? And your answer to this question is actually hugely important, because when your life's most valuable playing pieces are threatened, when it's your dream that's threatened, your security that's threatened, your family, your reputation, in that moment, there's a big difference between, on the one hand, this grandmaster working on your behalf in advance so that even the captured pieces in your life are orchestrated into victory, and on the other hand, having your kind of life played out like the chess games between me and my daughters, where most often the game is lost based on some variation of, oops, didn't see that coming, sorry, queen. And I have good news for you this morning, because our text today is going to show us there is never a moment in your life where God says, oops, didn't see that coming, sorry about your queen. If there was ever a person who could have said, my queen is dead, therefore my defeat is assured, it was Joseph. We've been looking at the life of Joseph, and Joseph could very easily have said, yeah, I've been captured. My freedom is gone. I've been sold. I've been enslaved. Then I was exiled. I've been abandoned. I've been assaulted. I've been accused and imprisoned and forgotten. It's checkmate for me. And maybe that's how you feel. Maybe there's parts of your life where it feels like, man, my queen is gone. It's checkmate for me. Maybe like Joseph, your family has betrayed you or abandoned you or has hurt you. Or maybe like Joseph, you've been misrepresented or misunderstood. Maybe you've been falsely accused. Maybe you found yourself in a pit. And maybe even some of it's your own fault. Maybe life seems to have worked against you in either your finances or your freedom or your security or your relationships. And in such a way, it's tempting to think, it's checkmate for me. And if that's you, I just want you to know this. It wasn't checkmate for Joseph, and it's not checkmate for you either. Because the ultimate grandmaster is working moves in advance, and he's in control of this game. The main takeaway this morning can be summed up in three words. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Now, that word sovereign is not all that often used except for in the church. And it has a theological meaning in the church. And when we use that term, what we mean by it is God's Lord over creation. He's in control of history. And that in particular, I want us to notice this morning. And he's present with his people. So when I say this word sovereign, that's what I want you to think, that he's the sovereign Lord. He's in control. He's present with us. And so this morning, as we look at Genesis chapter 40, I'm going to show you several things about God's sovereignty. I'm going to show you that God is sovereign over connections. I'm going to show you that God is sovereign over future events, and I'm going to show you that God is sovereign over timing. And then, if I get done on time, we're going to have a little story time at the end that connects to this passage. So that's where we're heading this morning. So God is sovereign, and what we're going to see first is that God is sovereign over connections. So look with me at Genesis chapter 40. Joseph was misrepresented, accused of rape, thrown into prison. That's where this story takes place. Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them, and they continued for some time in custody. So here, Joseph becomes connected with two very important men. The cupbearer and the baker, they were charged with the purity and the quality of Pharaoh's food. And these were actually really significant roles. Think more secret service and less top chef. Because the cupbearer and the baker, they safeguarded Pharaoh against assassination by poison. And so he would choose those he was close to. He would choose those that he trusted. And as a result of this connection, these were men who often became wealthy and influential. And yet now here they are in prison. We don't know exactly why they were there. Maybe Pharaoh got sick after a meal and suspected foul play. Maybe he had uncovered a plot against his life and he was trying to figure out who was involved. But whatever the reason, here they were in custody, which meant they were awaiting their verdict and they were awaiting their sentence. Verse 5, and one night they both dreamed. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So Egyptians placed great stock in dreams. They viewed them as a connection to realms beyond the natural world. And dream interpretation in Egypt had come to be a specialized skill. There were professional interpreters, and they had official books in which they would categorize dreams and record symbols so that they could unlock the symbols. And so here's these two men in prison in a culture that values dreams, and their lives are on the line, and there's a dream that came to them, but they've got no access. Like when they most need it, there's no access to these professional interpreters with their dream interpretation books. And it's into this context that they connect with Joseph. Now, just before we go further, put yourself in Joseph's situation. So he comes and he's like full of compassion. He's talking about how dream interpretation belongs to God, and tell them to me. If you had been rejected and sold and falsely accused and imprisoned, would you still be oriented towards God? Like even in prison, Joseph has confidence in God. Even in prison, Joseph's got confidence that God is with him. Would you still have confidence in dreams? God had told Joseph that his family was going to bow to him. Joseph had some idea that he was called to this place of authority, and yet the opposite has happened. He is far away from his family. They're not remotely close to bowing down to him, it would seem. He's not in a position of authority. He is in prison, and so Joseph could say, yeah, my chest queen is gone. I don't know. I don't know anything about any grandmaster working moves ahead. That could have been Joseph's attitude. But actually, okay, yeah, his chess queen had been threatened, but this is exactly how Joseph got connected to the cupbearer, and the cupbearer is the man who's going to recommend him to Pharaoh. Like, God is connecting Joseph, even when he's at his lowest, God's actually at work. Moves ahead, knows where this is going, knows what Joseph needs, knows who he needs to meet. The grandmaster was positioning Joseph for victory. And as I show you this morning that God is sovereign, what I want you to see first is that God is sovereign over connections. He knew who Joseph needed to meet, and he made Joseph's giftings known to the right person. And I just want to pause briefly and just encourage you with the truth that God can connect you to the right person at the right time. Do you know that? It's not all up to you to make the right connection at the right time. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but we got some people here that I imagine are wondering, when are they going to meet their spouse, and is that connection ever going to happen? And I just want you to know, I mean, Joseph would never have probably have thought that in prison was where God would connect him to the right person. It's like God can connect you to the right person, and he'll do it in his way at the right time. Some of you maybe are looking to get connected to an employer. You don't like your situation, or you don't have a good situation. I just want you to know, God is sovereign over connections. He can connect you to an employer. If you're in business and you're looking for a buyer, or you're trying to sell something, I just want you to know, like, God is sovereign over connections. And when it comes to salvation, think of how God connected you to someone who shared the gospel with you. Like, ultimately, this story, as we're going to see towards the end, is about God putting a Savior in place, because he is sovereign over connections. And maybe you're praying for someone's salvation. I just want to encourage you, like, God is sovereign over connections. It can seem like someone's in the place, or maybe you're in the place where this could never happen. I'm in prison. How is anything ever going to happen here? The world's out there. Like, I'm abandoned. I'm alone. I'm away from anything. And if that's you, if you're in a prison season or a pit season or an alone season or just wondering, how is this all going to work? I just want you to know, like, God's right there with you. He's working moves ahead. And don't have any doubt that he knows how to get you connected in the way that you need to be connected. God is sovereign over connections. Next, we're going to see that God is sovereign over future events. So let's continue the story, verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it's well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I've done nothing that they should put me into the pit." So here, Joseph is telling the future, because God has made known the future, and what we're seeing clearly is God knew the future. He communicated it. He communicated it first through a dream, and then he communicated it through an interpretation, and this was a strategic future that God was talking about. God wasn't just reacting in the moment. He was moves ahead. God was not like, "Oh, dang, Joseph's in prison. This is not what I had in mind. What am I going to do now?" No, this was all according to God's plan to use the cupbearer and to use Joseph's ability to interpret dreams to give Joseph Pharaoh with favor. Now, we're not getting to that part of the story today, but that's where this story is going, is God is going to put Joseph as the ruler of the most powerful nation in the earth in order to bring salvation for many. And so we're seeing here, like, God's in control of events. God knows what's coming. He's aware, and he told Joseph, and Joseph told the cupbearer, the dream meant Pharaoh was going to give a favorable verdict, and his head would be lifted, meaning his dignity would be restored. And then Joseph asked his cupbearer, "Remember me when it is well with you." And notice he doesn't say, "Hey, yeah, if it kind of, you know, I'm not sure about this, you know, if God really can control the future or not, but if it ends up that he's able to control the future and do what I've told you, in that case, you know, remember me." No. Joseph's like, when it's well with you. He already knows what's coming. He's confident in God. He knows that God is sovereign over future events. He's confident in God's ability to bring about this exact future. God is sovereign over future events. And so Joseph doesn't say, if it ends up being well with you. He says, when it is well with you. And that's actually something similar we can say too. Not if good is going to come in our life, in our future. No. It's happening. It's already in progress. The Grandmaster is already orchestrating it. It's already happening, even if you're unaware of how it is happening. There's no if about God's goodness. It's a when. There's a when, and the when is always. Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. Fun. The baker's initial hesitance to share may have been because he had something to hide. Indeed, in his dream, he did nothing to protect what was in his basket, perhaps symbolizing that he had not protected Pharaoh's table. And Joseph gives this blunt pronouncement that there's an unfavorable verdict that's pending, and the baker would have his head lifted up. Yes, the same phrase that was used for the cupbearer, but for the baker, this meant death, not dignity, because his head would be lifted off his body. And then his corpse would be impaled on a stake and hung in public, which was the sort of punishment that was reserved for a grave crime such as treason. Now, what we're seeing here in this pair of dreams, it's actually the second of three pairs of dreams that happens in the Joseph story. Joseph had two pairs of dreams about a family bowing down to him. And now we see this pair of dreams, and not next week because I'm not speaking, but the week after, we'll see that Pharaoh has a pair of dreams. And each of these pairs of dreams is showing that God sovereignly controls destiny. He knew what was going to happen with Joseph, knew what was going to happen with the cupbearer and the baker, knew what was going to happen in the land of Egypt. God sovereignly controls destiny. God knew what was coming because he was orchestrating what was coming. And that's what we're seeing with Joseph. And at times in life, it can seem like anything is happening but a grand master orchestrating things towards victory. And in fact, for Joseph, at first it might have seemed that his brothers were the ones in control. Not God. Oh, yeah, God's sovereign. Yeah, right. Seems like my brothers are sovereign because, after all, they're the ones who sold me into slavery. Who was in power then? But Joseph tells them in chapter 50, we'll see it when we get there. He says to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive. It might have seemed in chapter 40. That Potiphar was in control. That Potiphar's wife was in control. After all, it was her accusation and mistreatment and Potiphar, her husband, they're the reason that Joseph's in prison. But Joseph could actually say the same thing to them. And yep, you meant it for evil also, but God meant it for good to bring about the salvation of many. In fact, that's the theme of our Joseph series. When you look at the slide, it says, Joseph, they intended evil, But God. And those are two really encouraging, powerful words. Now, it'd be very easy for us to tell Joseph, I think this is a line from Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which does not interpret the story of Joseph quite correctly, but is entertaining nevertheless. One of the lyrics to one of the songs says, hang in there, Joseph, we've read the book and you come out on top. And that's easy for us sitting here in nice, comfortable chairs to look at a story that's over and tell Joseph, not such a big deal. Don't worry about it. We've read the book. You come out on top. That's easy to say, but when it's our queen that's threatened, our security, our family, our dreams, our jobs, our reputation, when our queen is threatened or has been captured, it's very tempting to tell a different story, to say, checkmate for me. And so I want to encourage you to be like Joseph, because even when he was at the lowest of the low, been accused of rape, and he's in the prison with the king's prisoners, even in that moment, we see him still oriented towards God. We see him still trusting that God is the grand master who's in control. And so I want to encourage you, if your family is threatened in some way, your relationship with your family is threatened in some way, I want you to trust. Yes, there's evil in the world, but God. Amen. But God. If it's your job that's threatened, trust. Yes, there's evil in the world. And there are people out there who are malicious and who may mistreat you, but God. Amen. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign over future events. God is sovereign over timing. Maybe you've been mistreated. Maybe that connection hasn't happened yet, and it's one you desperately need to have happen. Maybe you've got a dream and you feel it like it's from the Lord, and yet your life has you down in this pit, and you can look and you can see, yeah, there's definitely an enemy who goes around like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. And yes, it's true. There is an enemy and he is evil, but God. Amen. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Just because your queen is absent doesn't mean the grandmaster is absent. Your story is not over yet. Just like Joseph's story is not over yet, your story is not over yet. Just wait. I'll give you a little clue as to your story by the time we're done today. But for now, I just want to sum up this second point. God is sovereign over future events. That's both the second point and the summation of the point. God is sovereign over future events. Third thing I'd like you to notice about God's sovereignty. We saw first, God is sovereign over connections. Second, God's sovereign over future events. And third, God is sovereign over timing. Over timing. Look at verse 20. So let's see how the story plays out. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So I say that God is sovereign over timing because, for starters, not only did the future happen as God had said it would, it happened when he said it would, on the third day. But also God's sovereign over timing because we see this in the story. For Joseph, God's time had not yet come. He was forgotten. In fact, we'll see at the beginning of the chapter next week, Joseph is forgotten for some years yet. And at this point in his life, Joseph is 28. It's been 11 years since he was sold as a slave. It's a long time. And Joseph probably at this moment, he probably thought, okay, this is it. I can see now what God's been doing. My release is coming soon. These double dreams were fulfilled just as I said. I thought I knew how to interpret dreams. That means the dreams that God gave me, they're going to be fulfilled also and probably right away, because that cupbearer, I mean, he was so despondent, and I came and I like rescued him, and now it's happened just as I said. He's going to want to tell the whole world. Well, the cupbearer forgot. The cupbearer, he's like the one next to Pharaoh who can trump Potiphar and speak on his behalf. He forgot. And this is an inexcusable oversight, because this is a fellow inmate who knew what it was to be falsely accused. He knew exactly what Joseph was going through. This wasn't just a mental lapse. This is a moral lapse. He had an obligation to speak up on behalf of Joseph. He didn't. I find myself wondering, how did the cupbearer feel later on when all of a sudden that guy he forgot was his boss and the ruler of Egypt. He probably had this, oh crap, moment. Imagine. But God is sovereign over timing. In some cases, the 3 days played out just as God said it would. But in Joseph's case, God intended a delay. And you need to understand, delay is a common path for those who belong to God's kingdom. Delay is a very common path for those who belong to God's kingdom. We see this in the Psalms. David cries out to God, God, how long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Have you ever felt like that? When the cupbearers in your life forget you, it can feel like God forgot you. That's not the case. It's not the case. God's not absent in delay, and he's not wasting delay. Raymond Edmond, who's one of the former presidents at Wheaton College, wrote, "Delay never thwarts God's purposes. It only polishes his instrument." I'm going to read a quote from Jesus Continued, which is one of the books in our library by J.D. Greer. He says this about Joseph. "God often does his best work in our darkest hours. Even though Joseph felt alone during his betrayal, abandonment, and extended time in prison, the writer of Genesis says over and over again, but the Lord was with Joseph. God was there, even in the betrayals and the darkness, and he was hard at work. Down in the dank well where his brothers had thrown him, Joseph learned that God saves even out of desperate circumstances. While a slave in Potiphar's house, he learned that God had equipped him to manage a large household. In prison, Joseph learned the organizational skills he'd need to save a whole nation from starvation. And through it all, God worked in him the patience and compassion to forgive his brothers. And in his trials, Joseph gave us a picture of capital S someone much more important who one day would be falsely accused, abused, and killed because of our betrayal, yet rise to the throne to save us all. God allowed Joseph's suffering to prefigure Jesus' cross for us." God's at work in the delays in your life. He didn't fall asleep. He didn't make a mistake as Grand Master. So when a delay causes you to feel forgotten, I need you to know this. That's only a feeling. It's only a feeling, and feelings are terrible indicators of reality. Your feelings are a terrible indicator of reality. That's why we look not inward, where culture tells us to look for truth. No, we look into the Word of God. We look up to see what he says. We look out to what God has declared. And what we see in when we look into God's words, that he's sovereign over timing. The Grand Master did not forget you. He does some of his best work in the delays. And so we are to be like Joseph, who looks to the promises of God to carry us through the time of delay. Did you know that that's probably the main reason we have these promises of God in the Bible? Not so that you read it and you immediately step into the fulfillment. The promises of God are intended precisely for the times of delay. And there's like 700 plus of them in the Bible. So what do you think that's saying about how common the delay is going to be in your life? And so during this time of delay, Joseph looked to the promise he had. Now, we have so much more than he did, because we have the entire Bible that we can look at, and we can pick out all kinds of promises. But here's the promise Joseph had. Well, God told Abraham that God was going to make Abraham a great nation, but I might not necessarily be the one that he would make that through. But God gave me those dreams. Like, God showed me in those, I'm going to see my family again. I'm going to see my family again, because they're going to like bow down before me. That's kind of probably kind of awkward, but like, that's coming. And so he held to that. When he was in prison, he knew God has a purpose for me. God's got goodness in store for me. And yeah, I'm not seeing it right now, but I'm clinging to what God has said. And so when you're in your times of delay, cling to what God has said. Grab his promises, memorize them, stuff them deep down into your heart. When you go to bed at night, pull up that promise. I'll never leave you. I will forsake you. I'm always there for you. When you're in the shower, okay, God works all things together for good for those who love him. Like, memorize these promises from God and hold to them when you're in these times of delay. God's sovereign over timing. He's doing some of his best work during timing. You can trust him. Ultimately, the story of Joseph shows us that God is sovereign over salvation. What he's doing here, he's raising up a savior who would bring deliverance to thousands. And in that, he does prefigure Christ. And we see similar remarkable sovereign timings when we look at the story of Christ. Romans 5 tells us that at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And here's what I'd like you to hear. When it comes to Christ, with perfect timing, the Grand Master sacrificed his queen. That was what was going on with God. It wasn't oops, I lost my queen. No, God thinking moves in advance, way thousands of years in advance. In fact, the Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, Christ was crucified. That's how far in advance God was looking. This was not an accidental sacrifice. It was God intending this sacrifice, and it was not a defeat, although it appeared to be a defeat. But as history moved on and then someone emerged out of the tomb, we realized, wow, this was a brilliant, strategic, triumphant, victorious move. That's what our God does. Now, it looked like other people were in control when Christ died. In fact, in Acts 4:27, the apostles say that there were, talking to God, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and peoples of Israel. Are they saying that those are the people who are in control? No, because the very next phrase is this: to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. The Grand Master incorporated even the fallen choices of broken, evil humans into this masterpiece, victorious game. And he does the same for us. He's still doing the same for us. And you say, why the sacrifice? Why sacrifice the queen? And the answer is that it was for us. It was for us. See, when we read this story, we kind of like to put ourselves in the Joseph role. Yeah, we're the heroic person. And that's not all wrong. In fact, I've been doing some of that and just applying some of those truths to us this morning. But ultimately, we're actually the ones needing to be saved. You know who's a better representation of us in this story? I think it would be Joseph's brothers. Like, we're the brothers who wronged our father and put our savior into the pit, into the tomb. And then Jesus is the one who's like Joseph, who ends up being exalted to the right hand of the supreme ruler and who saves us and then shows us abundant grace. And we're going to see that that's what Joseph does. When he has the chance to get back at his brothers who wronged him, instead he shows them mercy and he shows us forgiveness. And that's what God does for us. We sinned against him, but instead of giving us what we deserved, he sacrifices his queen for us so that we can be in relationship with him. And then he loves us and he shows us abundant grace. And God's grace continues to write your story. God's grace continues to be at work in your life. Did you know that in the game of chess, you can get your queen back? As the game progresses, eventually a piece makes it to the end of the board, and all of a sudden there's the queen again. Seemingly insignificant pieces can become a queen. And I want to tell you that in some way, that's what's going to happen. You may feel like in your life, I lost the queen. It's forever gone. You may feel like you've made sacrifices and you can never get that back. But you don't know yet about the eternal weight of glory that our suffering is preparing for us. You don't know the ways that God is intending to give you back just so many times more than what you sacrificed. When you get to the end, no one's going to think, man, I wish I could just go back and have that queen. No, you're going to realize, oh my gosh, the grandmaster, is so far beyond anything I ever could have imagined. I didn't lose anything. I gained everything. You've got a future that's beyond compare. Your story's not done yet. It doesn't end with death either. Death is, I mentioned before, it's the end of the introduction to the story, but it's only the beginning of the chapters of the story. And as C.S. Lewis says, each chapter is better than the one before. That's where things are heading. God's grace continues to write your story. I'm not going to do the story time I had planned, so I'm going to leave you with this. When your queen is threatened, remember this. God is sovereign. He's the grandmaster. He's sovereign over connections in your life. He's sovereign over the events in your life. And he is sovereign over timing and delays in your life. You can trust him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Music team, come on up. Father God, we sang earlier today, give me vision to see things like you do. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And God, we need your vision. Because when we look at this world through fallen human eyes, we're tempted to sum up what we see in the word checkmate. But God, that's not what your word says. Your word says, but God. Yes, there's evil in the world, but God. But God is sovereign over it all. And God invaded the world to fight evil. God turns even evil things to good in our life. God has promised a future where there is no evil. So God, help us like Joseph, not to assume you're absent because our queen is threatened, but to be confident in your goodness and to trust you and to keep on keeping on. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.